Hi, I'm Steve Patico of the Ottawa Valley Country Music Hall of Fame, and you're listening to my good friend, Johnny Woodlot.
My heart would cry more than the weeping willow tree if my darling and her heart were not for me.
And now, friends, following those classic Ottawa Valley legends, we're once again back here on the Way Back with Johnny Show, and it's that time in the program. Pay tribute to a very special interview that I got to do 5 years ago. Now, this being, of course, the tribute today to none other than the Queen of Country Music, Miss Kitty Wells, I would like to share an all-time favorite, one of my very favorite interviews that I ever got to do with a pioneer of country music. That, of course, was the children of Kitty Wells and Johnny Wright, and, of course, were their daughter, Sue Sturdiva, and also Bobby Wright. With that mentioned, it brings me a lot of respect and honor to once again share this all-time interview with you, my fans out there today and listeners. Now, following this visit with Kitty Wells' family, I would like to turn back the years to that 1952 all-time favorite that truly kicked the doors open for the female country artist of today, and it is, of course, that all-time fairy favorite called It Wasn't God Who Made Honky Tonk Angels. So with that, let's turn back the years, 5 years now, to the height of the pandemic era in 2021 and relive an all-time interview that is one of my favorites with the son and daughter of Miss Kitty Wells and Johnny Wright.
Well, it's a pleasure to have y'all on the show today.
It's good to be here.
Good afternoon.
It's a pleasure to be talking to you all today. So, born into the Wright family of country music, having the queen as your mother, Miss Kitty Wells, and the husband as your father, Johnny Wright, what was it like growing up with the Wells family?
Well, hopefully it's normal. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really strike you that, you know, how big they were as entertainers. You just don't realize it until you get a lot older.
Yes.
No, I was just going to say, true, people used to ask us what it felt like, you know.
Yes.
To be the children, and you know, we would respond, well, this is normal for us, you know, this is all we know, this is all we've ever known.
Exactly.
Mom and Dad.
And at what age did you exactly know how special they were?
I guess it was after we were semi-retired. We didn't really work the road like we did. You realize how many people called her the Queen of Country Music and what she meant to the business. And
yeah,
also Dad was the same way. They grew up in it and we grew up in it, but they started back when country music was just getting started.
Like Bobby said, we always grew up with other stars around us, but to us, you know, Mom and Daddy, everybody was family to them. So we were like, even in Shreveport, Louisiana, I was very young.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, with Hank Williams and all the stars that were down there on the hayrack with them. Like Bobby said, we didn't realize they were huge stars at the time, but they were all family.
I see, okay. And I understand Kitty Wells wasn't your mother's given name. Your father actually had taken it from an old folk song.
Yes, that's true. There was the Ballad of Kitty Wells was an old folk song, and they were trying to come up with a name that would be easy to remember instead of Merle Wright. They just, Ellen Merle Deason or any, they come up with a lot of different names, but they didn't have one that would stick out and they thought people would recognize and it means something. Kitty Wells.
Yes.
It's easy to remember.
And your mother was the true queen of country music. Who crowned her the queen of country music?
You know what? The very first time she was called that was on the Grand Ole Opry.
Okay.
And it was Solomon Judge.
Oh, yes.
Gave her that name.
Yes.
It was on the Opry at the time.
Okay.
But that was what gave her that title, and but she was the first. And paved the way,
yes,
for other female singers.
And she is the true queen as far as I'm concerned. There's only one.
Thank you. She was voted the number one female singer for 14 straight years. That's quite a feat.
Yeah, it's for sure, yes. So talking about your father here for a minute, him and Jack Anglin were part of the team Johnny and Jack. How did this come about?
Well, they grew up together singing duet songs, and they did a lot of gospel songs together.
Mm-hmm.
And they just got to know that they had a good harmony, and they sounded well together. and Jack went into the service, and Daddy got Eddie Hill to work with him for a while. And when Jack got out of the service and come back, they reunited and they started putting out hits.
Okay. And among their classics was Ashes of Love, and two of my personal favorites are Lonely Island Pearl and S.O.S.
You got a good memory. Ashes of Love was written by Jim Anglin, Jack's brother. He wrote quite a few songs for Johnny and Jack, and as well, he wrote several for my mom, Kitty Will.
Yes. And where did Lonely Island Pearl originate from?
Big ship flying through the deep ocean blue. Lonely Island Pearl, I'm coming home to you.
You got me. My dad listened to hundreds and hundreds of songs every time they would get ready to record. And he was, I guess, considered the song selector. And that would just caught his fancy and caught his ear. And he just decided they were going to go in and then put it down. And you never know until you record something and play it back what you're going to think of it.
That's for sure. I understand what you mean. And another one was S.O.S. That had quite the intro to it.
S.O.S.
That and the Old Baby Mine, I Get So Lonely. They got that big bass voice on that one.
Yeah.
They tried to come up with something different all the time.
Yes.
I guess what first they used maracas that I know of on a country song with Ashes of Love and Poison Love down south in New Orleans.
And he sure could sing them, that's for sure. Your father, Johnny Wright, was also the perfect country music businessman in many ways. I understand he even did his own bus repairs.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
You know, in his childhood, his uncle, Benton Lowe, had a mechanic shop. So Dad, as a teenager, would go and work with Benton Lowe. He would let him come over there and work on the cars with him.
Oh,
so
yes.
He learned a lot at that time, and he could always fix anything, you know? Whatever went wrong, he could take care of it. So when he got a bus, he learned about the diesel engine, went and watched him work on it. So in turn, if the bus broke down on the road, Daddy could usually fix it. He was incredible.
Yes, he sure was. He wasn't just a singer, but he was a swell businessman, too, and a good repairman. I understand that Jack Anglin was killed about this time.
He was on the way to Hawkshaw Hawkins and Cowboy Copus. All of them got killed in the plane crash. He was on the way to the funeral home. Mom and Dad were at the funeral home at the time with Roy Acuff, and all the country music stars were down there at the funeral home, and going on his way to the funeral home, and his car flipped over and killed him, and Mom and Dad got the message at the funeral home.
And that was a terrible loss in general to country music, let alone your family.
Yes, it was. It really was deciding whether he was going to continue his career or not. You know, it took a while. He didn't think he was going to do it, but he decided to, in the end, he was going to put a family show together and start traveling with the family. So he tried to make do that way, and it turned out to be very successful.
Okay.
And Mother encouraged him to. She wasn't about to let him quit.
Yes,
and,
exactly.
It was a very difficult time. Something that you never forget, for sure.
That's for sure. And also, Johnny had a big part in keeping Kitty Wells active with the song in 1952, It Wasn't God.
Yeah, he was, like I said, he was a great song chooser, I guess you would say, because he listened all the time, and he listened, and he'd come up with some idea of what he thought she should be recording, and he listened to that, and it was an answer to Hank Thompson's Wild Side of Life. He thought that would be a great song for her to do the woman's version. That's how that came about.
And it really made her a lifelong career out of that song. She had others, but not as successful successful as that one, I don't think.
Well, that was the first. Oh, gosh, she had several other number one hits.
Yes.
You know, it had a career that spanned a lifetime, really.
That's for sure.
And they did it all together.
Now, friends, before we hear that timeless classic from 1952, I would like to pay tribute to Miss Kitty Wells, the undisputed queen of country music, and a little interview clip that I borrowed from the Gary Chapman archived material on YouTube. Now, Gary was a legendary pioneer of broadcasting on TNN many years ago. I remember my father often listened to him. Now, it's going to be an all-time classic interview from Gary Chapman and Kitty Wells, where Kitty shares the story of how she came to record that all-time classic 1952 all-time favorite, It Wasn't God. Then we'll follow it with playing that timeless favorite.
So when we moved back here, this was our home. We moved back from Shreveport. I decided I was just going to stay home and keep the children and keep make a home for everybody.
So right.
Then while we were in Shreveport, we had sent Paul Coyne a demo record for him to listen to and see if he'd be interested in recording me. And so we hadn't heard from him, but when we moved back here, well, Johnny and Jack were playing Ernest Tubb Record Shop one Saturday night, and Paul happened to be there. So he asked him if he was interested in recording me, and he said yes, and he'd heard this song and like for us to get it and listen to it, and if we like it, we go and record it. So that song happened to be It Wasn't God, and made Honky Tonk Ain't. Never dreaming it'd make a hit. I said, well, at least we'll get the, you know, session fee out of it. I'll record it, but I don't know if it'll do any good or not. So I had a short retirement.
Howdy, friends, listeners. This here is your old host with most country west music and bluegrass music, Johnny Woodlock. And I'd like to invite y'all, my listeners, to write yours truly, Johnny Woodlock, as well as Sim Bush and also Little Gunny. Here at the Woodlock Ranch and Studios. Have you ever had a thought or a message for us about this program you hear weekly? If so, we would love to hear from you. So write to us at our email address at waybackwoodlock@gmail.com, and we'll be sure to write you back. In the meantime, back to the show, friends, and happy listening.
So keep those cards and letters coming in.
Now, friends, I do hope y'all enjoyed that interview, first part of a two-part interview with the family of Kitty Wells and Johnny Wright. We're once again back here this morning, and it's that time once again to revisit the vinyl blast from Vinyl Past Weekend. First, we must open the vinyl vault door. Now that the vinyl vault door is wide open, it's once again that time in the program to turn back the years to the golden age of country music. Also, some of my all-time favorite records in my collection of vinyl is, of course, those old-time classic 45s of Miss Kitty and her husband Johnny Wright. With that mentioned, I have a couple of those old 45s here for y'all next. First of all, it's going to be a 1965 single off the Hello Vietnam album, and it's called Blame It on the Moonlight, and that's by Johnny Wright, and joined of course by Miss Kitty Wells. Then we'll follow with Miss Kitty herself and a 1973 later classic from Kitty's recorded career in country music, an all-time classic called It Doesn't Say. With that, I hope y'all enjoy these, and we will be back following these to send us into the second hour. Good morning, friends, and happy listening.
changed our house into a home, or that together we faced problems that I couldn't have alone.
And now, friends, once again, we have reached the end of the first hour of the Way Back with Johnny show here on CFRC 119 FM and also www.oshawarocks.com in the Durham County. And I'd like to send us into the second hour here this morning with another collection of sacred gospel songs, with first hearing the King of Country Music. Of course, that is Roy Claxton Acuff and his all-time classic called This World Can't Stand Long. We'll then follow with my very favorite husband and wife team in country music, second only to, of course, Kitty and Johnny. And it's going to be Carol and Pearl Butler and their all-time classic called Living in the Last Days Now. Then we'll wrap up and send us into the very top of the second hour here this morning with another gospel song, this time by our queen of country music herself, Kitty Wells and Matthew 24. With that, I hope y'all stick around for another 2 hours of great classic country. Welcome in, friends, and I'll talk to you on the other side of the hour.
Gets more wicked every day. The maker who created it will never let it stand this way. This world can't stand long. Be ready and don't be late. We should know this world can't stand, for it's too full of hate. Because it was so full of sin, and for that very reason now it's gotta be destroyed again. This world can't stand long. Be ready and don't be late. We should know this world can't stand, for it's too full of hate. This world can't stand long. Be ready and don't be late. We should know this world can't stand, for it's too full of hate. Let him lead us by the hand. If we will only trust him in, he'll lead us beyond the burning sand. This world can't stand long. Be ready and don't be late. We should know this world can't stand, for it's too full of hate.
We have heard the wondrous story of the Christ of Calvary, how he died to save poor sinners deeply bound. He ascended back to heaven, but he said, I'll come again. We're living in the last days now. Just as they do today, we're living in the last days now.
Country music, Miss Kitty Wells.
Hello, this is Sue Sturdivant, daughter of the Queen of Country Music, Kitty Wells, and Johnny Wright.
And you're listening to my good friend, Johnny Woodlock.
On the way back, keep listening.
This is what country music should sound like.
That has caused many a good girl to go away.